I mean, a film like this will succeed or fail based on the central performance. And Benoît Laurent's performance, I think, is excellent.
And how good was that reveal when you did actually see beyond the lid? Because I thought, it's a Netflix film, it's probably got a budget, we're probably not going to see a lot, but it just kept panning out and out, and it was a gorgeous shot.
It was surprisingly good. It was significantly better than I expected, and that's always a good indicator. I would happily recommend it to other people, even to people that generally don't watch foreign language films.
This is an insanely tense watch. There are bits where I was watching it through my fingers, but I think that's just a testament of how well it was put together.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this episode of Flixwatcher Podcast. Today I'm joined by Ben.
Hello.
Paul.
Hello.
And Helen.
Hello.
And we are talking today about oxy something.
Thank you as always to the mighty people for the mighty, mighty tunes. And thanks to Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills.
Please do remember to write a review and rate us on Apple Podcasts and anywhere you can do where you listen to the podcast, because it really does help us.
And you can join in the conversation with us on Twitter
at FlixWatcherPod and on Instagram
at FlixWatcher.
Hello, film fans. In the remote FlixWatcher studio today, we have Ben and Paul. If you could please say hello and tell the listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do, please.
Sure. Okay. So yeah, I'm Paul, one of the co-hosts of the Have You Seen This podcast. We're three cinema general managers that decided we were going to talk rubbish about films and film news. We try and have a guest on each of our pods that's linked in the industry some way, whether they work in the cinema industry or if they're actors or directors. And we just review two new films. When we were during lockdown, obviously we weren't open, so we were just reviewing things like from Netflix or any other streaming service, but it had to be a new film. But now the cinemas are back open again, we're hopefully going to be able to get back in there and review some stuff on the big screen.
My name's Ben. I am another co-host on Have You Seen This? And also a manager of a cinema. And yeah, it's been a really great couple of weeks because the cinemas are opened again. But it has meant we've been, arms up in the air. It has meant we've been incredibly busy.
Really? That's
yeah, good. It's really surprising because when we opened in July last year, everyone thought that Tenet was going to do absolute gangbusters. And do you know what? It did really well in the UK in terms of its overall box office. But after that, it all sort of fell off a cliff. And then obviously we went into the tiers, and then that just turned into a full on third, fourth, fifth, sixth lockdown, whatever it was. but this time people are coming back, and it's really, really great. And people are just excited to be back in the cinema again. I'm just having so many great conversations with customers who are generally just like, I thought you guys were going to go. And it's like, no, we're still here. And it's really good. Yeah, it's really great.
You should say which cinema chain you guys run.
We work for Picture House, which is owned by Cineworld, but trades and does things completely different to Cineworld. And it's a great little company to work for. As Claire Binns puts it, we have cathedrals of cinema, and all our buildings are really weird and quirky in different shapes and sizes. And we just, like, we're passionate film fans, and we get to sort of wear that on our sleeves in our buildings. Like, we get to do all sorts of stuff just to bring out the best of it. We've got people who do amazing chalkboards, lots of like different like fun quotes. And in Greenwich, the one I run, we've got loads of old 35mm equipment. We just literally just decorated the walls in it. When we reopened, I literally hung like loads of 35mm. I'm really sorry, I did cut up a print of Chicken Run. I don't know if I'm gonna get into trouble for that, but I found this old Chicken Run print, and I literally just hung it from the stairwell and just had Welcome Home in big letters. And it's just
we know that everyone from Aardman Animation does listen to us, so we'll send them your way. When that happens. But I mean, it sounds like this is kind of conversation, this your podcast is kind of spurned out from this conversations you have just generally as part of your daily work, I guess.
Well, we started out, it was during the first lockdown, the sort of higher-ups asked us if we would do a podcast for the Picture House staff that were all furloughed, just to keep them involved and get a bit of information out to them if it was needed, but just generally to something to entertain them for an hour a week. And it sort of went on from there. But then when we originally opened in that little period when Tenet came out, the official Picture House podcast was due to come out again, so we didn't want to confuse with them. So we decided to go off on our own and just continue the ramblings that we'd started during the first lockdown and just push them out to a wider audience.
Well, I've been listening along, guys. It was the first Pitch House podcast that introduced me to you, and I since then dived back and listened to a fair few of your shows. So yeah, I highly recommend Have You Seen This? Scene spelled as in S-C-E-N-E, just in case, you know.
Love a pun. People don't get the pun. So clever with that name.
It's caused so many problems since.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so we are here today to talk about oxygen, depending on which language you choose to speak. It was your choice, this, Ben. Can you tell us why you chose it? And then you have 60 seconds or less, or bring the watch up, to tell us the synopsis.
So, I mean, why is just, I mean, during lockdown one, when everyone was really excited and not over this BS, people were really energetic and they were like cracking on with those home projects. Like, and everyone seemed to be just like learning a new language, building a shed, going on a 15K run, sticking it all up on Instagram just to show everyone how amazing they are with life. I just watched a lot of films. I mean, like, I also stopped getting dressed, but I didn't put either of those things on Instagram, thankfully. But yeah, I was watching so much stuff, like lots of stuff I'd never seen before, things you want to just tick off the bucket list. Totally makes sense. But then nostalgia became like a very powerful tool in sort of staying positive those early days. Like, it's nothing like wrapping yourself in a warm piece of film to sort of think, oh, maybe the world isn't actually ending and it's not all that bad. So yeah, I was going for a real sort of binge on that stuff. But then it was like, well, actually the cinemas are closed and there's no new content coming out. And when you think back to like 2019, like there were literally like 13, 15 films coming out a week. They always say on the Wittertainment podcast, like Mark Mo's always whinging it is to watch so many films. So after a while, it's just like, I really just want to mainline some new content. And so then just Netflix, you know, they've always been good, to be honest. Like Uncut Gems, 40-year-old version, like two of my favorite films of last year. So the hit rate is pretty strong. I know nothing about this film going into it. Saw the trailer, thought, I like sci-fi. Yeah, I like her off Inglourious Basterds. Let's give it a go. So Oxygen is a film about a woman who wakes up.
There's 60 seconds. Good. Sorry.
Oh, right. Sorry, this is going to take me no time
straight
at all.
Straight out of the box.
Wait, way much longer. Okay. Oxygen is a film about a woman who wakes up in a cryogenic chamber with no recollection of how she got there, and she must find a way out before running out of air. The clock is ticking.
Like it. 20 seconds. Excellent. I mean, I've not seen Buried, but the premise seems very similar.
Yeah.
Almost like a one-hander. This has opportunities to actually have different voices in there and stuff. Paul, have you seen Buried? And what are your thoughts on Oxygen? What are your first kind of thoughts on it?
It was my first thought was you immediately start comparing it to Buried, which I thought was a really good movie. Ryan Reynolds was great in that film. So there's always going to draw immediate comparisons, even down to camera shots and those sort of things. I mean, how are they going to manage me being glued to the screen for an hour and a half when really you're just showing the inside of a box? And they achieved it with Buried. And I mean, they stuck, to be perfectly honest, with this film, they were inside the box for longer because at least there were flashbacks that took you outside of the coffin and Buried. But to keep you inside that box, it did draw those comparisons straight away. Obviously, the setting's very different, but yeah, you couldn't really avoid that.
So what were your thoughts on Oxygen generally?
Personally, I actually quite enjoyed it, surprisingly so. I was a bit, I don't know, going in, the director, his output hasn't exactly been glorious. There's a couple of films that were okay.
So what are you referring to?
Well,
the
travesty that is Piranha 3D. It's an absolutely, absolutely terrible film. Although, yeah, it's just...
Is it that bad?
I think if you go in expecting the right level of cheese, I think you probably can get away with it as just a fun ride. But it's not a film that stands up to a rewatch. And the gimmick of 3D worked very well. But
I think I remember watching Prime 3D at the cinema. And this is at a time when I didn't go to the cinema that often. Maybe like just like twice a week. So I always think, what else? There must have been other stuff at the cinema that I neglected. I chose to watch Prime 3D instead of it. I mean, I had quite a good time, but I still think there must have been better things on there.
Must have been around that time.
I think also there's that time when 3D was just still a gimmick and I kept from trying to find a film that it worked for. I haven't found it yet. Maybe Gravity is probably the best version.
Yeah.
It still is like, okay, there must be one film that this works for. And
Piranha 3D wasn't the one.
It's not the one.
No, it wasn't. No. Helen, what are your thoughts on Oxygen and this, I don't know, subgenre?
Surprisingly enough, I haven't seen Piranha 3D, so I can't lend my voice to that debate. So you'd not seen this before, Ben. This was something you'd not seen. Brave choice. I always commend anyone who is going in for not having seen it. There was lots that I liked it going on. I like a good sci-fi and I like something that makes your brain kind of like tick over. Yeah, definitely buried, because obviously she could have been buried. We don't know. We don't really know where this mysterious pod is. And then also sort of the single person films, so like Locke and Moon, All Is Lost, those kind of films as well. Kind of your brain starts thinking about that. I think it just about hold my attention for the runtime. I mean, obviously subtitles, so you have to kind of have your attention on all the time. So that had that going for it. But yeah, I mean, we'll go into it a little bit more. But yeah, just there's a certain point where I think my brain kind of accepted that she was here and she was probably not going to be moving from this. So trying to kind of guess, like, with the information you've got, why is she there? Who is she there, etc.? And try and keep up with the film and try and, like, can I outguess it? Can I find out? Is he dead? Is she dead? Who's dead? Are they all dead? It's kind of the thought process that I went into with this.
It becomes a bit like a whodunit, doesn't it? Like a sci-fi whodunit, trying to unpick where she is at the same time as her. And there's also, I think you also have those kind of tropes of the amount of times she was screaming really loudly and like moving around. There's like, conserve your oxygen. You've been told you've got 48 minutes to 74 minutes. Like, you've got an extra half hour if you just like try. I know it's obviously super difficult, but at the same time, you're trying to save yourself. Just like calm down a little bit, maybe.
And I love how we were reminded throughout about how little time she had left with this deeply unsympathetic, cold AI, love it, Milo, who was essentially like the second lead in this film, because like it's basically the two of them throughout.
It's a French Hal.
Yeah, yes. Essentially. And it reminded me of the days of like Windows 95, when you were like trying to use your hardware wizard to try and attach a printer and the PC would just look at you going like, what are you trying to do? I don't really understand. Like, unless she actually articulated exactly what it is she wanted, Milo would be like, nah, it's not happening. It's not happening. Yeah, and I love that.
He was very French, wasn't he? In that sense. Yeah. Give him the specific instruction. He's like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, no more said than right at the end where she's like, it's going to take me like 20, it's going to take 14,000 minutes for me to do this thing, unless I put you to cryosleep. And she's like, well, can you put me to cryosleep?
Yeah, crazy. For a film that was shot in a single location, like the cinematographer, Maxim Alexandre, he made it look so big and like at the same time claustrophobic, depending on what he wanted to achieve, because the camera was just all over the shot. There must have been a use of CGI to take the lid off the actual pod, because there was a bit where the camera was like literally spinning around, catching like, what's her face? I've forgotten the name of the actress. Melanie Long. So just catching her face, like it was engulfing the screen, and then it was like panning around again and seeing the roof and then panning around again. I was like, how did they do that? That's amazing. It looked gorgeously cinematic. I loved that.
Yeah, I would have thought, like you say, CGI would have played a huge factor in the setting. But I was similarly consumed in the same way you were. I thought that because I hadn't seen Buried, the concept for me is like, and similar maybe to Paul, I was kind of going into thinking, is this going to keep my attention for 1 hour 40? Already seems a bit long for this kind of idea, but it generally did. And like I say, I think it's the whodunit aspect. An extra clue comes out. You get this kind of this police person who turns out to be fake, who's trying to just keep her alive until she perishes. And then you finally get the idea that she's actually in cryosleep, in space. And it's like, oh shit, this is what you see in Aliens. This is what you see in Red Dwarf. This is the inside of the bits you don't see. Yeah. So then that kind of grabbed my attention a bit again, then to see what that kind of would be like.
And how good was that reveal when you did actually see beyond the lid? Because I thought it's a Netflix film, it's probably got a budget, we're probably not going to see a lot, but it just kept panning out and out, and it was a gorgeous shot.
And I really enjoyed the fact, and that's one thing, answered a few of my questions with cryosleep and stuff, is how many people survived this thing? There must be some collateral damage. And if there was a collision, what happens? And you saw that there's just dead bodies floating in there. And I thought that was really cool. Not the dead bodies aspect, but I think the way they kind of showed what kind of colonization experiment, what kind of colonization mission will realistically have. People are not going to make it all the way through to Mars or whatever.
Mm. It's kind of plausible sci-fi, isn't it? Because there's kind of strands that are a bit like, oh, it's amazing, but not going to happen. And then there's like, so we could send loads of clones off into space, and that would be the spaceship that could go in, and like, would I send myself into space to be cloned? And like, it's quite interesting. It raises quite lots of ethical questions also about kind of like cloning and, you know, can clones like have personalities and, you know, what can they do with their memories and are their memories real and all of those kind of things. And like so many rats, like there's loads of rats in it as well. So, you know, they clone the rats, like could be possible. Are they cloning rats now? Are they going to send me into space? So many questions. Quite a thoughtful film for Sunday afternoon when I was watching it.
Helen, you said it was a brave choice to pick this. Is it because of the horror elements in it or just because it might have been utter tripe?
Well, to be honest, when you picked this, I had flashbacks of one of the earlier episodes where Dave from the Cinemile picked Ark, which was also a Netflix sci-fi film, which was pretty rubbish. So I was kind of like going, please don't be another Ark. Please don't be another Ark. Please let there be shoes in the future. So, you know, kind of like the first 20-odd minutes, I was like, yes, this has got good vibes going for it. Yeah, it's always kind of a risk, you know, with a new film as well, one you've perhaps not heard people talk about. And, you know, you're kind of going, bringing it to the table for three people to obviously review. Yeah. Sometimes kind, sometimes not kind. Some people take it personally. It's not personally.
That's what,
so, yeah, it's good.
That's what I love about it. It's just the idea that all four of us had a shared, if be it virtually, experience of just all watching this for the first time. And that's what, you know, that's an element of cinema that I really missed, you know, when we were closed, is that shared immersive experience. And yeah, I like the idea of just doing something like this and it's all fresh takes.
Well, I applaud you. Obviously, it could. I mean, I think by the discussion we've had in the first kind of 15 minutes, it's seeming generally positive. But yeah, it could have gone awry. Yeah.
And I think it succeeds based. I mean, a film like this will succeed or fail based on the central performance. And Melanie Laurent's performance, I think, is excellent in this film, given the restrictive nature of the physicality that she was able to portray. I mean, everything had to be done pretty much in close-ups with her face. And to convey everything that she was able to with this script, I think she did an excellent job. I read somewhere that apparently this was originally supposed to be an American project and it was going to be Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
And it was going to be playing the role.
It probably still will be. It'll probably still do it anyway.
Possibly. But yeah, so I think, you know, she needs to be commended for the performance she gave, because, you know, a lesser actress in this role could have rendered this really difficult to watch.
And I think one thing I think about, I want to see more of Melanie Laurent. I've only seen her, noted from my memory, in Inglourious Basterds and Beginners, which is a film with Ewan McGregor. And she's, every time I see her, I think, yeah, let's have more of her. And I think you're right, it does kind of hold, these kind of high concept films often fail. And often that reason is because of the caliber of the acting that goes on. And I remember In Time, which was led by Justin Timberlake, and he's a nice guy. But also the concept of the film, it didn't have the legs. It was maybe a 50-minute Black Mirror episode, but it wasn't a two-hour-long cinema experience. But I think the script held it here, and it had a few ideas to take it through to the full running time.
I like the tech in it as well. I think the tech in it was quite convincing, because it wasn't too futuristic, but I was kind of a bit like, yeah, I kind of get that you need those needles in you and the belt thing and the
that was
the, like,
gross, wasn't
the
it?
The netting thing. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of like, yeah, believe that. Not too, because it isn't until quite a bit on that you actually realise that she is actually in space and she's not actually still on Earth, because I think she's still having a phone call before you kind of realise that. So it manages to kind of stretch it out that far until you kind of get there and you're like, oh, right, actually, probably not looking that great if she's nowhere near Earth and she's run out of oxygen. Like, good job she didn't open the pod, Ulta. That could have been a bit dicey.
It was a nice little plot point, because it, for a concept like this, yeah, you need to re-engage your audience fairly constantly to stop them getting bored, and introducing, like you said, it's another level of peril that gets added at that point that wasn't there before, and again, it just draws you back in again. So I think that was quite an intelligent script in that regard. The only thing for me, I don't know, we've mentioned them already, how do we feel about the rats bit? I mean, yes, of course, it's always a horrific thing when you see all those rats, but I don't know if it for me, whether it worked in with the entirety of the script, whether it seemed to be I don't know. It seemed for me at one point certainly to be a sort of shock value thing. I don't know if it added anything to the story. Maybe it was just me. I don't know.
I think maybe one shot when the one rat was there, it was like, oh shit, is there a rat there? But then when the multiple, when like the hundreds or whatever it was came, I was just like, they're not there. What's this for?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume they were there to show kind of like her brain was, you know, deprived of oxygen and hallucinating. And
yeah.
Maybe they overdid it on the rats. Less rats. Less rats next time.
That's a trailer shot if I ever saw one. Like that shot in the trailer was like, oh, yeah. Rats.
Yeah.
Good. Good to know.
Is there anything you want to say, guys, before we head to the scores?
I was just wondering like what people's maybe favourite concept. I think like with a high concept film, the sort of the elevator pitch film, usually something with a clock running down. These are films that like when you're watching them, they're great. They're intense. But if you go back and watch them again, maybe they don't make a lick of sense. I was thinking of things like, did you remember Phone Booth? That film that was like one of my favorite sort of high concept films. Just wondering if guys had any others that were your favorite, apart from Buried, obviously, which we've mentioned before.
I think all my favorite high concept films tend to be the ones that they do in Black Mirror.
It's difficult to get away from that.
That's
now,
where it tends to manifest best for me.
I guess Speed is a classic for me. Because it's like, oh, well, they... Oh, well, I mean, I can't give any spoilers away, but there's a moment in it where you're like, oh, they've done the film. They've completed it. And then it's like, oh, no, it isn't. So I think that's quite, I mean, there's loads of things in there where you're like, yeah, that wouldn't happen. But still, I still enjoy it. And I think, you know, it's one of the stronger ones from Keanu's back catalogue that I particularly enjoy. And it's a lot of fun on that one. So yeah, Speed maybe gets my vote.
Another Keanu, maybe Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Is that a high concept film?
Yeah, you could class it as high concept. So, yeah, they're going back in time to help someone. I mean, it's a very silly concept, isn't it? To help them be able to pass a class at school.
That's it. That's not very high stakes, is it?
It's not high stakes, but it's
just turning in a paper.
Weirdly high concept in a weird way.
I had one question I wanted to ask before we go to the scores.
Sure.
So the ending, we're led to believe that all is well and she lands on the planet and is reunited. I kind of felt, I don't know, I was expecting...
You wanted more terror.
Yeah, peril. I was kind of expecting that she didn't survive but sacrificed herself for him, which I thought was kind of where it was maybe going, but then it didn't. And it was a bit like, the ending was a bit, maybe like the least exciting part of it. Because I like films where you genuinely don't know if the characters are going to survive, and then when they don't, it's more of a like, ooh, surprise me there, and it's less kind of Hollywoody. I was a bit like,
It was a bit, I agree about it being a bit Hollywoody, particularly as he'd gone back to France to make this film. That European sensibility that, you know, it doesn't matter if it has an unhappy ending, if it's the right ending, it's the right ending. So it was maybe wrapped up in a bow a bit much. So yeah, maybe a bit more ambiguity would have been nice, whether it was just the concept she had in her head before she passed away from oxygen deprivation or something would have been nice, or a Twilight Zone final twist along there somewhere. But yeah, so maybe that was possibly the bit that was a bit twee.
Just bang for blood, guys. Come on. What's wrong with you? Life's depressing enough. She made it. It's nice.
I just took it at face value. I was just like, yeah, made it. Fine. They got back together. I did wonder where everyone else was, though. But nope. That was my own point. All right, let's head to the scores.
Hello, folks. I'm Sam.
And I'm Martin.
And every week for the last 5 years, we've got together to talk about the musician Tom Waits.
He's a gravelly voice singer that sounded like he doused his vocal cords in bourbon and set fire to them with a cigarette and wrote such classic songs as Way Down in the Hole, Downtown Train, Jersey Girl.
He's also the gravelly voiced actor from films such as The Ballad of Buster Scruggs and Seven Psychopaths, both of which coincidentally are on Netflix and both of which Kobe and Helen have discussed here on FlixWatcher.
So make sure you check those episodes out. And when you have a little bit of a taste for the magic that is Tom Waits, why not head over to songbysongpodcast.com or search for Song by Song in your podcatcher of choice to listen to a little bit more about Tom Waits.
Welcome to the FlixWatcher scores. All of the scores are out of 5. You may have decimal places if you wish. And we'll start with you, please, Ben, with your recommendability.
I'm definitely not going to be using the decimal place because I have like quite a strict star rating system when it comes to films. And people who use the half star, I mean, there's a special place reserved in hell for them. So, recommendability. That was a bit much, but yeah.
Are you on Letterboxd? Is that something you're not happy with on Letterboxd?
Like, literally, I follow you guys on Letterboxd. If you read, like, my description literally is, I do not recognize the half star as a thing. But yeah, but when you go into decimal places, it's more a percentage anyway, so it's great. And you guys do have a great scoring system, bringing it back round. Recommendability. I'd say 4 out of 5. I'd say give this a go. This is an insanely tense watch. There were bits where I was watching it through my fingers, but I think that's just a testament of how well it was put together. So yeah, 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, I agree. I think 4 out of 5. It was surprisingly good. It was significantly better than I expected, and that's always a good indicator. And the fact that I would happily recommend it to other people, even to people that generally don't watch foreign language films, which is a strange concept to me. If a good film's a good film, but I think, yeah, this is a good movie. So 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I mean, on that, because I started watching this on my iPad first. And then switched to my computer about the next session. And on my iPad, it just presented automatically to me English with the subtitles. So I just thought, I thought it was just an English film. New Melanie Laurent speaks English. I just thought that was it. And then when I went to my computer, it was French with the English subtitles. I was like, what the hell is this? What the hell's got on here? I've never had that before. It's just chosen a language for me. And then also not stick with it, because I would have genuinely continued all the way through the English. Because something else, I kind of switched back and forth, and I found the dubbing wasn't too bad. But I guess you guys, it was just straight French, was it? There was no ambiguity in the way that was for me. No,
avoid dubbing like the plague, wherever possible, because generally it's never good.
It is weird that we've done ones in the past which have been subtitle features, and Netflix has sometimes automatically gone for the dubbed version. I remember that happened with that horrible prison one, The Platform. It automatically went to the dub version before I'd even had a choice to watch it in the original language. So yeah, it's not just you, Kobe. I think that happens a lot.
Recommendability score, Helen?
Just to say, I watched this, the French version with the subtitles, which I think can still be off-putting for some people, especially kind of like Netflixers in general, where they like to double screen. So I think the fact that it's French might be slightly off-putting, and that you're going to have to like read as well as watch. But that said, I'm also going to give it a 4. I don't think it's going to be like one that loads of people are possibly going to pick up with and be their favorite film. But if you're looking for something that's a new film, which most of the films on Netflix are kind of a little bit old, and this one's probably a little bit hidden. It's only 1 hour and 41 minutes. So if you're looking for something a little bit different, then yeah, give it a go.
Repeat viewing score, Ben.
I really don't like, I'm fine with rats. And as I said, I think the rats in this looked actually quite nice and friendly. But I do have an issue with blood, and all of the needle stuff really did freak me out. And again, we were talking about high concept films. I think if you go back and scrutinize the plot, things will just start to unravel. So for me, it's a 3 out of 5 on that.
Oh, so you will watch it again?
I think I would watch it again, especially if I'm like, come on, guys, let's all sit down and watch Oxygen together. But yeah, maybe.
Paul?
I'm going to go for a 3 out of 5 as well. I think it's a film, if I'm recommending it to people, I think I'd happily sit down with them and watch it. Again, probably to see their reaction to it as well. So yeah, I think a 3.
Helen?
I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm not sure what I would get from this repeat viewing, because kind of the momentum that keeps you going is to kind of find out like why she's there and where is she, etc. So 1.5. Sorry about that.
I was going to go exactly 1.5 as well. Again, like Helen, I'm not sure when I'd watch this again, because I think everything's kind of revealed to me. And I don't think it's that layered in the way like something like, what's that Benoit Blanc film?
Knives Out.
God, yeah, Knives Out.
Wow.
Of course.
Yeah, so
the name of the character in Knives Out, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what three of you probably thinking the name of the actor or the director. Yeah, so something like that, where it's like, it's a bit of a whodunit, where you think, okay, I need to watch it again to see where the things kind of knitted together. But for this, I don't think I need to do that. But also, I think I quite like what you said, Ben, about the blood thing. And I think there's this thing whereby, like, supreme gore, like if a chainsaw cuts someone's head off, it's like fine, but I can that's so far beyond the realm. But like sticking a needle in your hand is like so I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Small screen score, Ben.
So it's shot in 2.39 scope, despite not having a cinema release, especially in the UK. I didn't see if it was showing in the UK, but I don't
was it due to have a cinematic release, you know?
I don't know the ins and outs. Was it always a Netflix production? Paul probably knows.
No, I was to say originally it was touted it was going to be at one of the studios in the States with Anne Hathaway on it. And I think it's only because of the pandemic that everything's moved in. He went back to France and still wanted to make this movie. Obviously, it's a very small
But then they
crew.
Made it. They still made it super wide, which is interesting. All right.
But that helped. And in the same way you were talking about Buried, that helped sort of get those great shots of her all in one frame. So despite the fact that it is sort of shot in that cinematic format, I would still give it a 4 out of 5 because I think it works perfectly well on your TV. And I don't know how it fared on the smartphone, but...
Yeah, so I think I'll probably go... Yeah, I mean, it works very, very well because it's a one tiny room film for the majority of it. The only time you would really think about moving out to, you want to see on the bigger screen, is when to go to those big concept shots, as I said, that huge shot of it tracking, panning back out. So I don't know, I was about to say 3.5, but Mercer would kill me. I'll say 3 for this one, I think.
Nice.
Helen?
Yeah, I would not have seen this at the cinema. This wouldn't be the one that I would kind of go, yeah, I need to go and see that on the big screen. It would have kind of just been maybe not that one. I thought watching at home was quite claustrophobic, and I think that kind of like added to the sort of feeling of being like almost in the box with her and being in there. So I thought that worked pretty well. That said, like the kind of like the pulling out shot to the you know the wider pod vessel was pretty cool. Yeah, I'll go for a 4. Like, I mean, there was bits of it that were quite cool and I could see it working in the cinema, but I enjoyed it all the same at home.
Yeah, again, some reasons to yourself, but I'm going to score a bit higher with a 4.5. I think it works very nicely and gives that extra kind of claustrophobic feeling when you watch it at home, especially if you start watching on your iPad in your bed under the mattress, under the quilt. Engagement score, Ben?
I've been 4 out of 5 because this was an intense watch. I had my hands covering my eyes. It was... There were bits where I was just, come on, shouting at the Milo, the computer. I was like, oh, you knew what she meant. But yeah, 4 out of 5. I was shouting at my TV.
Paul?
Yeah, why is it echoing the same things? I'm going to say 4 as well. Because the performance is what really drew me in. That always tends to be my starting point with a lot of movies. If I don't believe the performances, you've lost me. So for that alone, I think 4.
Helen?
Sorry, I'm going to 4.7. I pretty much
Why are you
nearly...
saying sorry?
Because I could just tell how this is making Ben feel with the points.
I feel like I came across too strong when I said that, guys. Like I'm very okay with your cut-off scoring system.
If you knew him, it's real.
Just because I was like 100% in it and had 100% of my attention, but I think the flashbacks were a little bit overdone and I kind of wanted it to move on a little bit. So 4.7.
I'm going for 5. I like the way it just impaled. I like the way it peeled back. And there's a different step, there's different something revealed every kind of 15 minutes. And it's ended up so far away from where I thought it was going to end up when I first pressed play. So it kept me going. And I guess because it's a foreign language film, I don't speak French, and I'm reading the subtitles as well, so you have to be engaged, otherwise it's not happening. And that gives an overall score of 3.63750. So no matter what you do with your round scoring, the overall score is going to be Looney Tunes anyway. And that's what it comes to, 3.63750.
That's pretty good.
It is, yeah. It's the repeat viewing score that let it down in this case, which I can understand. Ben and Paul, tell everyone where we can find you online, and then we'll say goodbye to the listeners. Make sure, obviously, you plug your podcast again.
Sure. Okay. So, yes, our podcast is Have You Seen This? With Scene spelled S-C-E-N-E. You can find us on Twitter at @SeenThis_pod and on Facebook and Insta, @SeenThisPod. And if you want to drop us an email, it's SeenThisPod@gmail.com.
Yeah, please come along and have a listen. Listen to my insane jingles. I did one about Butticus popcorn recently. I genuinely thought I'd lost my mind. It was just this guy saying Butticus, Butticus, Butticus over and over again. But I find like 70s jingles and just sort of all mix them together. So yeah, if that sounds like your bag, give it a go. But yeah, cheers. Thanks.
Yeah, do give it a go, guys. It's very well, very highly recommended. Not enough episodes for my liking, but you know.
We're lagging behind you a bit.
Maybe you'll get some more.
Yeah.
We need to get you guys on.
Yeah, whenever you want. Just give us a shout. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for coming on.
Bye.
Bye.
Enjoyed this episode of FlixWatcher Podcast? Why not leave us a 5-star review on iTunes? You can also follow us at FlixWatcherPod on Twitter, and we're at FlixWatcher on Instagram. Thanks as always to the Mighty People for their mighty, mighty tunes, and Ben from Rockwood Audio for his awesome editing skills. If you're looking to get your podcast edited as sweet as this, get in touch with Ben, and that's Rockwood, R-O-K-K, Wood Audio. Tell them FlixWatcher sent you.
You just heard a Stripped Media production.